Let us pray. You, O God, call us to be part of your kingdom-building work. Some you call early in life, and others you call later. But to each of us you offer the same call, to use our hands and feet in the building of the kingdom of love and peace. Having heard your word this day, we come seeking deeper insight and inspiration. Guide us, we pray. Humble us in our assumptions and lift us up in the light of your glory. This we pray in the strong name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that sound after the prayer where everybody gets comfortable. It's the creaking of the pew. Do you ever have a good idea? I mean, a really good idea. I'm not talking about buying bulk toilet paper because it'll save you money in the long run good. I mean sliced bread good. I mean internet good. I mean Presbyterians, Methodists, and Congregationalists coming together as one church in Canada good. These are all things that happened in the last century, by the way. Internet, 30 years old this past week, you might have heard. Now, maybe you didn't have as good an idea as those last two, sliced bread, United Church of Canada. But maybe you felt that it was a really, really good idea. One that people were going to get excited about. One that people were going to rally behind. You thought it would impact people. Maybe not a lot of people. Maybe it wouldn't change the world. But it would change the lives of those people who were important to you. But just before you got to share your awesome idea, someone jumps up and suggests it. It's exactly the same thing that you were thinking about doing, but they got there first. Whether it's a complete stranger who comes up with it or someone close to you, maybe they were spying on you, it's hard not to feel a bit bitter. Like they're getting credit for something that you've put a lot of thought and work into, but just didn't get the words out fast enough. For the most part, we as humans love taking credit for things. We crave credit. Maybe we don't want, parades. Maybe we don't want big celebrations honoring us. But we like to see our name on things. We like showing that we've been a part of something. And the bigger our name, the bigger part that we played. And usually, those who do the most work for a thing or who have been in the thing the longest get the most credit, right? Their names are remembered. A really good example of this is when you think about, and this is not an advertisement for Apple, but the founders of Apple. Can anybody name them for me? Yes, and Ron Wayne. It's easy to remember Steve and Steve because Steve's, right? They're both there. They were also in there the longest. But we forget Ronald Wayne. He was right there at the beginning, but sold his shares about 2 weeks after the company formed. Not many remember him, even though he was there right at the beginning. A more Christian example of this would be the first followers of Christ. Can anybody name all of the disciples? No? Okay, that's not maybe a fair question, just throwing it at you, but here's one you probably know a little bit better. Who was the first disciple called? Anybody? What? Peter? Simon Peter? No! Not John. Someone up there should know that name. Andrew. Not that Andrew. He gets called too, though. But no, Andrew. Andrew is Peter's brother. Andrew is called first, and he runs to Peter and he says, "Hey, Peter, this is an awesome thing that I want to show you, a person that I want you to meet." And yet, we don't really remember Andrew very well. We remember, if we want to really look back in our minds, we remember that there's Peter, because He gets the most ink. We remember Matthew and John because their names are on books. We remember Thomas because he's got that name, Doubting Thomas, right? And we remember Judas because, well, he was the bad guy in that situation. The others, they don't readily come to mind, even though they were all there, they were all a part of it, and they were all mentioned in one way or another. I think that it's pretty obvious that we can see some parallels between the story of the parable that Barbara just read, but also the stories of the disciples, because the disciples were often after Jesus to find out which one of them was the best. I bet even Andrew, after a while, got a little frustrated that Peter got so much attention. But the reality is that they were always after Jesus. You know, which one of us is going to sit at your right hand? Which one of us is the best? Because we've been here for the longest of all your followers. The reason that I wanted to mention the disciples and who got there first and that kind of thing is the connection with the reading that we have here today. Not just parallels, but because it drives right to the heart of it. And today we see a glaring example of the disciples coming to Christ seeking benefit, seeking reward. Just before our gospel reading today, Jesus had told a young man who was rich that in order to truly follow him, he would have to give up everything that he had. The young man leaves grieved because he had so many things. But the young man was not the only one who was affected by what Jesus said. His disciples, many of whom had been with Jesus since early in his ministry, had given up much, if not everything they had, to follow Christ. And so they turned to him for some assurances. Enter the second to be called disciple, Peter. And hear his confrontation. Listen to the words that he says to Jesus in the verses just before our parable. He says, "Look, we've left everything and followed you. What will we have?" That's what Peter says to Jesus just before we get to the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. It's a pretty aggressive way to talk to the Son of God. But it's also a very Peter thing to say. Jesus' immediate response is a good one because he says the 12 will sit on thrones at the right hand of Christ and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. But he goes on to say that anyone who leaves family, fields, and finery behind will receive 100-fold and eternal life. That's the immediate response that Jesus offers to Peter's look. But then he follows it up with the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. An interesting parable because as far as I can tell, it's a parable that only his disciples hear. If you read the verses just before leading into the parable, he's not on a mountaintop teaching. He's turning to his disciples and entering into this confrontation with Peter and then offering this parable. He tells them that the first would be last and the last would be first. It's a parable that they needed to hear. Those people early on in the movement, those people of the way, those people on the ground floor. I think the other part of us as humans around wanting credit or control isn't just about vanity, though that's there too. I think it's more about our fear of feeling or being undervalued. Undervalued for something that we feel that we've given. And we can see that in Peter's question to Christ just before this reading. As we can see it in the frustration of those early morning vineyard workers who are paid last, paid the same. They've been there all day, but those who just got there, just in the last hour, got the same pay. And indeed, it can seem like they're being valued more than the ones that have been there all day. I mean, just think about it. If the last person there got $50 for that 1 hour, and the people that have been there all day get $50, break it down, less than $5 an hour compared to the $50 an hour that one guy got paid. It's easy to see where frustration is. It's easy to see where feeling unappreciated comes from. But what Jesus is saying in this parable is pretty clear. especially when we know it's in response to Peter asking about his reward, about the reward of the other disciples. When it comes to the gift of salvation, when it comes to the gift of eternal life, there are no greater or lesser portions. The disciples, like those who are called to the vineyard early in the morning, were promised nothing more and nothing less than salvation, eternal life. What more could they expect when the work has come to an end? The truth is that when it came to Christ's ministry, he was doing the same thing as the landowner. And whether it was early in his ministry or right at the end on a cross next to other criminals of state, his promise was eternal life. His promise was the kingdom. His promise was nothing short of the love and embrace of God. This parable offered to those already on the inside of Christ's ministry is one that's meant to remind his followers, then and now, that people are called to participate in that kingdom-building work at various times in the life and work of the church. And as we can see in the experience of the disciples, it doesn't matter if the church has been alive and at work for 20 years or 2,000 years. Constantly, they were constantly after Christ to name which among them was the best. Early on, 2 days into the ministry. And even after Christ died and was raised, Peter and James, pillars of the church, were known to be at odds with those newer voices, specifically the Apostle Paul. The main source of their conflict was whether or not people had to first become Jewish in order to be followers of the way. Peter, and actually more James, believed that people should indeed have to do that, while Paul suggested that the good news, that the way, was open to and offered to all. Looking back, we can see that while Peter is well known as a follower of Christ, it's actually the latecomer Paul who gets a lot of credit for the letters in the New Testament. This story about conflict between early apostles and the parable could just as easily be stories about us. We are a part of the United Church of Canada, a church that's not quite a century old, and yet still filled with people who've been a part of it their whole lives. And with people who've just heard that call later in life. The lesson that Christ is offering is the same for us as it was to those earlier followers of the way. Every person who answers the call is precious. Every voice inspired by the Holy Spirit deserves a space to be heard. Every one of us is beloved of God with the way to eternal life open to us, without barriers, without restriction. This is an important lesson for those of us who are cradle united, born and bred in the United Church. Because too often I hear someone with a deep passion for something shy away from sharing their ideas because they haven't been here as long, because they haven't earned the right, deferring instead to the wisdom of those who've been here longer. Now, I'm not saying that wisdom isn't important, because it absolutely is. But Christ is saying that the voice of the untested is just as necessary for the work of building the kingdom. We need experience to bring us knowledge, but we also need those that are unburdened by what hasn't worked to dream new dreams, or perhaps even dream old dreams in a new way. So as we reflect on the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, let us hear that we are called because the Holy Spirit sees in us gifts that we don't even know that we have. We are all chosen because Christ has invited us morning, noon, and night to walk in his way. And we are all cherished because God breaks through the barriers of time, embracing the first, the last, and all those in between with the same eternal and unconditional love. So let us walk together, lifting one another up in faith and trust. Let us work together as kingdom builders in the vineyard that is creation. And let us wonder together at the depth and breadth of God's unending grace.
Amen.